Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study from last time. We've been doing a series of studies on biblical characters. We started to look at Barnabas, a good man misled. And we looked at some things about Barnabas last time, and the last part of our study on Barnabas, we saw Barnabas' sin, how he went along with Peter. He listened to the Apostle Peter. Of course, Paul rebuked Peter there in Galatians when Peter was eating food considered by the Jews as unclean. He was eating with the Gentiles, food that Jews considered unclean. And then when the Jews came from Jerusalem, he backed away from the Gentiles and separated from them and had nothing to do with them. And of course, this was wrong, and Paul rebuked him, and unfortunately, Barnabas listened, amen, to Peter, and also separated themselves from the Jews that he was fellowshipping with, the Gentiles that had been saved, and he was fellowshipping with them and eating the food that the Jews under the Mosaic law considered unclean. So we see then, as a result of that, in the last part of our study, we were looking at this point here. If we are to refrain from doing the things that cause this good man, Barnabas, to fall, then the best thing for us to do is decide that there are some things to which we may listen and some things to which we dare not listen. In this particular case, Barnabas shouldn't have listened to Peter. And we started to see, if you go through your concordance, a strong concordance I recommend, you'll see there are some things which God tells the speakers to hold their peace. And of course, we looked at the definition in the scriptures, comparing scripture with scripture, of hold thy peace, which literally means to shut your mouth. And we began to look at some places in the scripture where a person needs to hold their peace or shut their mouth. And we want to pick up in that light. Hold thy peace. We need to hold thy peace and do not complain how toilsome it is to serve God. Let's look in Exodus chapter 14 with me, if you would. Exodus chapter 14 and verses 11 through 14. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you this to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Amen. And here we have Moses telling them things are going to be all right. God's going to take care of them. The Egyptians that you served, you will see no more. And of course, what happened was the Lord parted the Red Sea. Amen. And they walked across the dry land to the other side. Pharaoh and his men followed, but the sea came back upon them, and they were killed. Amen. But the Moses is telling them to just hold your peace. Stop complaining. God's going to take care of things. Amen. Stop complaining. You know, they were complaining, oh, we should go back to Egypt. Things were better then. But, of course, they weren't. Looking in the book of Nehemiah with me, if you would, Nehemiah chapter 8. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, we want to look at verses 9 through 11 in Nehemiah 8. We see here then in Nehemiah chapter 8, in verses 9, 10, and 11, we read in Nehemiah, which is Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites had taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. Again, here we have the people complaining, amen, the children of Israel. And they're told they were complaining about serving God, and they were told to hold their peace, amen. We need to not complain about serving God, especially amongst the unsaved. What a poor testimony that is, amen. We're told to hold thy peace. People who would tell us not to get too wrapped up in God's work need to hold their peace. We see an example of this, if you would, in 2 Kings. We need to turn to the book of 2 Kings for this illustration. 2 Kings chapter 2, in verses 3 and then verse 5. We read, And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know. Hold your peace. Again in verse 5. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. So he tells them to hold their peace. He's not going to stop serving God, working for the Lord. Amen. They're telling him, don't get wrapped up. Your master, your head is leaving. He's going to be taken up. And he said, hold your peace. I don't want to hear it. Amen. We need to hold thy peace when you hear conversations about the shortcomings of others. Amen. We need to hold thy peace when you hear conversations about the shortcomings of others. Look it in 2 Samuel for this illustration here. 2 Samuel chapter 13, if you would, in verse number 20. 2 Samuel 13, verse number 20. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, Hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. So here we see Absalom tells his sister Tamar to hold her peace about, don't say anything about what our half-brother has done to you. Amen. And then one last thing about holding thy peace. Hold thy peace. People who say that man doesn't really need saving need to hold their peace. They need to shut up, in other words. They need to shut their mouth, because all man needs to be saved. Amen. Looking in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 with me in verse number 19 of Romans 3. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Again, Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every man may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Amen. So anybody that's saying they need to hold their peace, amen, if they say that man doesn't really need saving, amen, you need to hold thy peace. Well, as we conclude on our study on Barnabas, we saw that Barnabas was a good man, and he was off to a good start, was he not, as he and Paul served the Lord together? However, as Paul's leadership was blessed of God, Barnabas then argued over taking Mark on a missionary journey. Paul would not do so. Consequently, we saw that Barnabas took Mark with him, and we do not know of any of Barnabas' accomplishments after that. Amen. Paul took Silas then as a partner, and truly, we have the gospel today because of all that God did through Paul. Alrighty, so that concludes our study on Barnabas, and we still have time left today, and we want to take up another biblical character here, and that's the poor widow. The poor widow, she knew how to give. The poor widow, she knew how to give. The story about the poor widow is a simple one, but profound. Let's turn first to the Gospel of Mark. In Mark chapter 12, in Mark 12, look at verses 41 through 44 of Mark 12. Mark 12, beginning in verse 41. And we read about the widow here. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which made a farthing. And he called unto him, his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did in for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And then let's go over to Luke. Luke chapter 21 and verse 1 through 4. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, Of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury, or her poverty, has cast in all the living that she had. Now, Jesus was there to see this greatest of gifts given by men. The significance of this act of giving is shown by the fact that Jesus was there to see it. God himself witnesses this gift and commented on it. His comment that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all, Luke 21:3, marks this gift in its humble giver for all time and eternity. Jesus saw rich men giving their gifts, but he did not comment at all on these. A rich gift given by a rich man is no more noteworthy than a poor gift given by a poor man. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2 instructs us, Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. The word prosper here means endue. We are expected to give in accordance with our means as God has enabled us. The third thing we want to see here in our study on this poor widow is the showy public gifts did not impress Jesus. The rich cast in their gifts publicly. This impresses men, but God takes little notice of it except to comment. Look what our Lord said there in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, in verses 2 and 3 of Matthew 6. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. You see, our giving is not for show, not to impress others, but to God. It's not a religious act to be noted by men, but an expression of the heart. The fourth thing we want to see in our study is what made this gift great, the gift of the widow, was the sacrifice involved. The widow's two mites were small, but they were her all. In weighing the importance of her gift, our Lord commented. Notice what he said in Luke chapter 21 again, in verse number 4. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Her sacrifice made her gift great. Amen. She gave all that she had. Amen. The others, the rich men, had so much left over. But she gave. Her sacrifice was great because she gave all that she had. She had nothing to begin with. Amen. She was poor. But she gave all that she had. Just some thoughts on giving. You see, sacrifice pleases God. In purchasing Ornan's threshing floor for an altar unto God, notice what David said. Remember the account? Ornan wanted to just give it to David, but David wouldn't take it. Notice what David said in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 24 with me. Notice what he said. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 verse 24. And King David said to Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. Amen. We see David would not give that which cost him nothing, but that which cost him dearly. Amen. Because Ornan, as we saw, wanted to give him it for free, for nothing. But he said, no, I'm going to pay you what it costs. Amen. So we see that sacrifice pleases God. Also, tithing alone does not please God. The tithe is obedience to the law and no more. And notice what we're commanded there in the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3 with me. In verse number 10, Malachi 3:10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. But bring you all the tithes in the storehouse. Amen. We're commanded to tithe. Amen. we see that tithes and offerings please God. Tithes are required by obedience, but offerings come from love. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. In 2 Corinthians 8, we want to look at verses 1 through 5 of 2 Corinthians 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord unto us by the will of God. And what Paul was describing here was how the churches of Macedonia gave. They were poor churches, amen, but they gave beyond what was called for, amen. They gave, and not only did they give what they didn't have to give, but also they gave of themselves, and this pleased God. As he says here, that the Macedonians gave over and over above their means, and their giving went beyond the tithes, not out of duty, because, as he said in verse 5, they first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So we see then that the tithe and the offerings please God. Anything above the tithe is an offering. And also, as we look at some things, we've been looking at some things about thoughts on giving. We saw that sacrifice pleases God. Tithing alone does not please God because it's commanded. The tithe is obedience to the law. And tithes and offerings please God. And then we want to see that the root of giving is gratitude. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, we are commanded, freely ye have received, freely give. Our giving should reflect both the reality of what we have received and our gratitude for it. Amen. And then we want to see the attitude of giving is one of cheer. Amen. We should be happy to be able to give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So what the Word of God is telling us here is the attitude. God looks at the attitude of giving. Amen. God can see the heart. Amen. And he looks at the attitude of your heart. And if you give, your giving should not be grudgingly, like, oh, I don't really want to, or out of necessity, I'm just giving because I have to. No, giving, the attitude of the heart should be giving is one of cheerfulness. In other words, can't wait to do it. One of laughter and joy, being able to give and to be give generously, amen. That should be the heart attitude of giving, amen. There is no pleasure, either God or for us, in a gift given grudgingly or out of duty. But cheerfulness transforms our giving and makes God's love real to us. And remember, you and I can never outgive God. Amen. We can never, ever outgive God. Because what did he give us? We're reminded of what God gave you and I in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's right. For God so loved the world, we're told, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his Son, his only begotten Son, for lost sinners like you and me, so that we wouldn't have to go to a lake of fire and spend time and eternity in a lake of fire, so that we could have our sins forgiven, taken away, remembered no more, amen, so we could be covered in the blood of Jesus, so we could be covered in the righteousness of his Son, because he who knew no sin was made sin for us. Amen. We need to remember that when it comes to giving. We'll never be able to outgive God. He gave the supreme sacrifice. He gave his Son. Amen. He purchased the church, it tells us in the book of Acts chapter 20. God purchased the church, amen, with his own blood. So we see now why it's so in that story of the widow and the two mite, and it's what's interesting, God put it there for a reason. Each time the Word of God is read, and that passage that we read about the widow and putting in the two mites, she's put down there for people to read for time and eternity, to show the sacrifice, amen? And she gave. She didn't have it to give, but she gave anyway, amen? And she gave it all. It was a sacrifice. Unlike those rich men, they gave out of their abundance. Amen. They had plenty more left over. When you give, see how much you have left over. That'll tell you. That'll be a barometer of how much of a sacrifice you're making. You know, it's really an honor and a privilege to be able to give back a portion of what God has blessed us with. I can never understand it, that people are reluctant to give back 10%, at least 10%. That was the law, under the law, 10%. We're under grace. I think 10%, I believe, is just the beginning point, amen? Some of you may think I'm crazy, but I can testify to that, amen? A lot of you may be struggling financially because you're not giving to God like you should, amen? You know, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you give sparingly, you're going to get sparingly. Amen? So if you want to get out of that financial situation, amen, then you need to start giving to God, amen, like you should, amen, because God's going to get it some way. Amen? You need to give it to him right off the top. I love these people who say, well, is that net or gross? From your net pay or your gross pay? He gets it right off the top, even before the taxes, amen. That's right. You may not like what I'm saying, but it's the word of God, amen. He's to get the first fruits, amen. Maybe that's why you're not prospering like you should, because you're holding back. You're being stingy. You're selfish, amen. Thank God God wasn't selfish in not giving up his Son, because we'd be in a world of hurt. We'd all be on our way to hell, amen. So I pray today that even though this widow, she was poor, we can learn a lot from her and what she gave and how she sacrificed, amen. Because no matter how much we give and how much we sacrifice, we'll never be able to match what God gave us and the sacrifice that he gave in giving up his only begotten Son to die and shed his precious blood so that our sins could be forgiven. Well, that's all the time we have on the pastor's study today. That concludes our study on the widow who gave the two mites. She gave all that she had. Again, thank you for joining me, Pastor Cassieri, for the pastor's study. And until we meet again on the pastor's study, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.